Turn, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 1. For several weeks ahead, in the will of the Lord, we will be engaged in a series of sermons on this first book of Samuel. The author of this book is not necessarily the one whose name is above all the text, although it's quite possible that Samuel did write a large part of 1 Samuel. At least we have him active from he was born here in chapter 1 right up to chapter 24, where the record of his death is in chapter 25. Some scholars believe that perhaps the prophet Gad wrote a large part of it, and that's possible. But others feel, and it's even more likely, that David himself was the writer of it. Be that as it may, whoever wrote it, what we have here is the production of the Holy Spirit through some writer. Our study in 1 Samuel, and we may at a later time go into 2 Samuel, but for now we're going to stay in 1 Samuel. It will concern a number of characters, and we'll be looking at events that surround these characters, but it's a most interesting study. We're going to look at these people who figure prominently in the book. A couple of them will be women. One of them will be a lady by the name of Abigail. Mostly there will be the men. We'll look at Eli. We'll take some weeks to look at Samuel. We'll look at Saul, the first king of Israel. We'll see Jonathan. And then, of course, we'll see King David himself. And it's my desire and prayer that we will get to know these people in a better way than what we've ever known them before. And if we come prepared to listen and learn and bring our Bibles with us, I believe that we'll get insights into these people's lives. Today we're commencing with one of these great characters. And it happens to be a woman, the woman Hannah. The place of women in the Bible, I've brought before your notice before, is of great significance. Some of these women are bad women, but we can learn much from them. We learn from that wicked woman, as she was described by one of the people in the Bible, Athaliah. And of course, Jezebel was a wicked woman. And then there were good women. We know of Sarah. We know of Eve. We know of Deborah and Dorcas and Mary and Mary Magdalene and Elizabeth and Ruth and Esther and Lydia. What a galaxy of great godly people are found in God's Word among the women. But not behind any of them is the one that I want to consider with you in this first study today. Hannah is most noteworthy for her exemplifying the power of prayer. Today we will learn something about this practice. And I don't think there's any one of us here, but we would all love to know more about prayer and to become more proficient in the skill and in the science and in the practice of this all-important matter. And the lessons that we are going to learn today are not coming from a minister or an evangelist or a preacher or a missionary or a theologian, but rather they're coming from a housewife who was greatly distressed and brokenhearted. So let's notice this woman, Hannah, and notice her praying. First thing I want you to see is the circumstances of her prayer. Now, the Bible tells us we should always pray, whether there's anything special going about us or not. That should be our practice day by day. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should continue instant in season. We are to pray without ceasing. We ought to be in the attitude of prayer day by day. That doesn't mean we have to stop what we're doing and go somewhere to pray. But it does mean that we should be continually lifting our hearts up to the Lord in prayer. But there are times, my dear hearer, that we have got to give ourselves specially to prayer. There are burdens maybe that come upon us. There are matters that surround us. There are trials, and we have to have special prayer. Sometimes we have to do it as a church, but certainly we have to do it as individuals. And this is exactly what happened to this lady that we're looking at today. The special matter of her prayer was that she was in sore distress. She was afflicted, she said. She was heartbroken. She was childless. That's the reason for that. The woman longed for a baby, but for some reason or other, and we'll see in a moment, she could not have that baby. But there were two main factors that brought this praying, this special praying, to pass. And the first one was the provocation of Peninnah. Now, this shows us very clearly the evils of polygamy. This man, Elkanah, who I believe was a good man, but he had two wives. And it didn't help him any, because the other wife, one wife was blessed with children, and the other wife, Hannah, had no children. And the one who was blessed with children began to provoke the other unfortunate woman. Notice what we read in verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore. Now, there was no need for her to do that at all. This was just being downright nasty and malicious. Here's a woman who has got a number of children, boys and girls. She's got a husband. And she's really scorning and deriding and ridiculing this poor, unfortunate woman. Why? Well, maybe it was just in her nature. She might have just been one of those spiteful persons that loved to down other people. But it could have been that she saw her husband particularly in love with Hannah, who had no children. This is what we are told in verse 5. But unto Hannah he, that's Elkanah, gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. Even though she had no children, he loved her. And maybe Peninnah saw that and was jealous of that. We don't know for sure, but we know that she gave Hannah a terrible time. And let me say this. There is no need for any one of us being spiteful to anybody else. Especially whenever that anybody else is going through a hard time and a difficult time. We don't want to belong to the school of Peninnah. And it doesn't become Christians, or it doesn't become human beings for that matter, to be scornful and derisory of other people, perhaps not as advantaged and blessed as ourselves. However, if you are the butt of this, if you are the subject of scorn and ridicule, and somebody's giving you a hard time, then, my dear friend, do what Hannah did. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Listen to what we are told in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So if you're having a difficult time for whatever reason, and it's not being helped by the attitude of other people, never mind. Do what Hannah did. Get to the Lord in prayer. But there was another reason why this woman got to the Lord in prayer, not only because of the provocation of Peninnah, but because of the action of God. Notice what God did in verse 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6, the end. Because the Lord had shut up her womb. Twice in as many verses, the Bible tells us that the reason for the barrenness of this wife was God had withheld the fruit of the womb from her. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me say that God is absolutely sovereign in this matter of birth. And if children are born into a family, so-called unwanted children, that might be on the parents' part, but certainly not on God's part. God has wanted it. because God is absolutely sovereign in this matter. And we learn in Genesis chapter 20, verse 18, that God shut up all the wombs of the women in that land. And there was a reason for that. It was the deceit of Abraham that brought that on. And then we read that he shut up the womb of Jacob's wives on occasion. God can do it. And if there is not a child in a family of husband and wife who long for children, God has his reason for withholding it. Perhaps his time has not come yet. Or maybe there are even other reasons. Keep that in mind. But let me say also that God is the one who gives the children. Again in Genesis, we read in chapter 29, we read in chapter 30, that God opened the womb of both Leah and Rachel, and children were born. God did it. And in Psalm 127, verse 3, hear these words: children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So there was a reason. She was barren. Not only did she go to pray because of the provocation of Peninnah, but she went to pray because God had shut up her womb. And because God withholds that, that doesn't mean that there should not be prayer by concerned parents that the Lord would bless them with a child. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So that was the circumstances of her praying. The provocation that she was subject to by Peninnah, and the action of God, and for some reason at that time, withholding the womb from bearing. But notice secondly about Hannah's praying, not only the circumstances of it, but notice the character of it. And this is why we can learn from this housewife how to pray. I'm sure every one of us wants to be better men and women of prayer. Well, here are guidelines from this prayer of Hannah's. I want you to notice very quickly, first of all, that God does allow us to approach him. Before we look at her prayer, turn over very quickly to Philippians chapter 4. A little verse that sometimes we skip over, but this should help us. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, mark that phrase, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. So Hannah was perfectly right when she went to the Lord to pray about this matter that was vexing her, her barrenness. We've got to remember, however, whenever we pray to the Lord about anything, we should always come with gratitude for what he has already done. This is what Paul was saying. In everything. Now God will show us. He'll make it very plain to us. If what we're asking for is in his will, he'll make that plain to us. Sooner or later. In different ways. But don't be forgetful to thank him for all that he has done for us before we pray about this particular matter. Now it was perfectly normal for Hannah to want a baby. And it was perfectly normal for her to go to the Lord and pray for a baby. And may I say this sensitively and as tenderly as I can. If there are young parents, childless parents in our church, and you would love a baby and nothing has happened, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Follow the example of this woman in that matter. Now let's notice the character of his prayer. There are six things about it. I'm not going to spend long on any one of these. First of all, it was specific. The Lord doesn't like this praying that comes to him and utters a lot of pious platitudes and never asks for anything. Prayer is basically asking. Ask and ye shall receive. So she was very specific. Notice verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. First of all, she prayed for a child. Oh, a baby would have been so welcome. But she says, Lord, I wanted to be a boy. How's that for being specific? She wanted a boy particularly. So come to the Lord and pray specifically. Name it before the Lord what your burden is. Even though he knows, tell him about it. Tell him what it is. Tell him what's worrying you, if there's a worry. Tell him what your fear is, if you have a fear about something. Tell him what your desire is. Don't generalize. Be specific. Notice, secondly, it was silent. Eli, we read of him, he was very much mistaken about Hannah. Verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she'd been drunken. Here's a woman who's setting us an example to pray, and at this particular time, she wasn't even praying out loud. But the Bible does say she was praying from her heart. And as we'll see, it was a powerful prayer. A silent prayer. So there are times when you're driving along the road, you can talk to the Lord silently. I was walking up Portadown years ago. I was a worker here in Hamilton Robb's factory. And I was part of a team that was playing football up the Armagh Road in the Villa Park then, before they built houses on it. And I was walking up where Jeffers used to be at the top of the town, the old Jeffers place. And I happened to be praying, and my lips must have been moving. I was praying about a matter. And I walked into this fella, and I knew that he had seen me, and he gave a grin. The next morning he came into work, and he came into the mechanic shop where he was working. He says, boys, did you see Elliot last night? He was having a powerful yarn with himself going up the town. Well, Elliot was praying. He wasn't having a yarn with himself. Listen, friend, you can talk to God without making an audible sound. It happens in different occasions. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, hide not thine ear at my breathing. Even a sigh can be a prayer if the heart's in it. Whenever Artaxerxes looked at Nehemiah, and Nehemiah had this tremendous burden on him to build the walls of Jerusalem, this king says, you're downhearted. What's wrong with you? Now, it was a dangerous thing for a man like Nehemiah to be downhearted in front of the king. It just wasn't permitted. And Nehemiah says, well, he says, and he told the story about the city in ruins back home. And the king said something suddenly. He says, well, for what do you make request? And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2, the opening verses, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Just in a flash, he shot up a prayer to God. And then he says, right, your majesty, I want this, I want that, I want the other. He didn't know what to ask. He was taken by surprise. But he quickly shot up an answer to heaven. And God quickly gave him an answer to his petition. I don't believe he stood praying out loud to God. I believe that he was looking to the king and he says, oh God, what will I say here? What will I ask for? And the Lord showed him right away. It was a silent prayer. It was specific. Notice that it was sincere. Notice verse 15. She says at the end of that verse when she's speaking to Eli, I've poured out my soul before the Lord. So you can pour out your soul before the Lord whenever you're not making very much noise. And then it was spirited. Notice what she says in that 15th verse. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. It was sincere and it was spirited. A woman who's brokenhearted. Let me say this, it was skillful. Did you notice when we read verse 11? She put a few conditions before the Lord. Notice what she says. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord. She says, if you will give me, I will give you. Now, she wasn't declaring, she wasn't claiming merit, but she was showing her love and her devotion. She says, O Lord, if you would bless me with this thing that I'm asking for, I'll hand him back to you all the days of his life. You know what Job said once in chapter 23 of his book, and I think it's the fourth verse, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. What a way to learn to pray. Listen, friends, prayer is not the complicated thing that a lot of people make it out to be. Whenever you know God and you're in the family of God and saved by God's grace and walking in no known sin, we can talk intimately with God, very intimately, not irreverently, but very intimately. Just imagine Job saying, if I could just get a sense of his presence, I would order my cause before him. I would muster everything that I could take out of my armory, and I would go to God with that in order to reinforce my plea. And this is what Hannah's doing. She's showing us how to pray. She's a skillful woman in prayer because she's praying from her heart, a broken heart, and she has a burden. It was specific and silent. It was sincere. It was spirited. It was skillful. And one other thing about it, and that is it was sustained. Notice verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. She kept going over the same thing continually. And that's where a lot of us give in. We say, I've been praying for this thing now for years and nothing's happening. Well, keep at it. This is what the Lord said when he told the story of the widow who went to the unjust judge to look for a redressing of her situation. The old judge wouldn't do it. And then he gave in eventually. But the Lord Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In other words, God may be trying you because he hasn't answered your requests the moment that you prayed them. Some prayers he does answer right away. Some he'll not give you the answer you want to. But very often people mistake a denial just because God is delaying. Keep praying. No matter how long you've got to delay. And pray for the same thing. If God tells you it's all right to pray that, you'll know if the thing that you're praying for is not in God's will. He'll show you. He definitely will. But if he hasn't, if the thing is not wrong, and you have freedom to come to God in prayer, no matter how long he keeps you waiting, friend, you keep praying. Hannah did. The character of her praying. The circumstances of her praying. The character of her praying. Notice lastly the consequences of her praying. What was the outcome of all of this? Well, there were three consequences that I want to bring before you. First of all, there was one that took place immediately, right away. Oh, I love this. I think this is tremendous. Notice verse 18. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat. She wasn't eaten before this. And her countenance was no more sad. What a change. It happened immediately. Now listen, friend, get this. In this reading, we get these words to show the woman's condition. I'll not call out the verses. They're in the passage. The word fret, the word weepest, the words did not eat, the words heart grieved, the words bitterness of soul, affliction, sorrowful spirit, complaint, and grief. All of that marked this woman. But now the Bible says that she's no more sad. Her countenance is no more sad. What has happened? What's the change all about? Well, she committed her case to the Lord. The Lord gave her great peace about it. The high priest Eli, when she heard what she was about, he said amen to her prayer. And with that confidence that either God was going to give her what she wanted, or else that he will make it up to her some other way, the great change came over her, and her countenance was no more sad. She was a different woman as a result of that special season of prayer. And if you've got a burden in your heart today, and you've come to church like that, and you're fighting and struggling with this thing day after day, listen, friend. Bring him your heartaches. Bring him your tears. Bring him your sorrows. Bring him your fears. Go tell him plainly just how you feel. Jesus will pardon. Jesus will heal. Will you? It happened to Hannah. She took herself to the Lord in prayer, and God gave her right away tremendous peace. Ah, but there was more consequences. Notice the ones that took place eventually. We have seen the one that took place immediately. Now notice the ones that took place eventually. Verse 19. They rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house, to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, didn't she pray specifically in verse 11 that the Lord would remember her? So she had a specific answer to her prayer. But it gets better. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, all the time came that she became aware that she was carrying a baby. You can imagine the joy that was in her heart. God has remembered me, and he's answering my prayer. Think of that, those months that led up to the birth of the child. How thrilled that woman must have been. But there was more than that. God remembered her. She conceived. She began to bear a child. But when the baby was born, it was a boy who was born. That's what verse 20 says. Hannah had conceived that she bare a son. Oh, my dear friend. Simply the consequences are that she had her prayers answered. Now forget about the fact that she wanted a baby. But the fact that prayer is answered, specifically when you pray about a matter. Oh, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, how many hands would rise up in this church this morning? Yes, God answered a specific prayer for me when I was burdened. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because you've had it. God has done it for you. Oh, the thrill of having a specific prayer that was heavy in your heart answered. What a consequence that was for her. But the other third consequence is the baby was born. The Lord had given her heart's desire. Imagine, if you can, when the baby was born, and those in attendance with her said, Hannah, it's a boy. Do you mean to tell me that Hannah was not elated? How she remembered all the provocations of the other woman? How she remembered especially that time of prayer when she prayed out of a broken heart in Shiloh? Do you not mean to say to me that she forgot how gracious God was? No, my dear friend. As well as having the baby, the thrill of knowing there's a God in heaven who hears specific prayers from broken-hearted housewives. But you remember I told you earlier, whenever God gives the answer, don't be unmindful to thank him. It's not what we read in Philippians 4, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Well, Hannah, she didn't forget. Notice in verse 24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And then in verse 26, she meets the priest. She says, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. And then, and I can imagine with a thrill in her voice, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. This child that you prayed for could be anything. It could be a wayward son or daughter, an unsaved loved one, a hard-hearted person, a person who's causing problems for you. That could be the child. That could be the petition, as well as a wee baby being born to the family. And then she says in verse 28, therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And whenever old Eli heard that, the Bible says he worshipped the Lord there. He had seen the power of answered prayer in the life of this poor woman. Ladies and gentlemen, are you burdened today? Well, all right. Very few who's not. Do you pray to God about it? Do you pray with confidence to one who loves you and cares for you? Keep trusting him. Haven't we been told in God's word, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He will appear on your behalf by and by. Keep trusting. Keep praying. Don't let your burden get you down. You have a God in heaven who loves you and is interested in the best for you. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank thee for this woman. What a woman she is. We cannot but admire her. We admire her for her knowledge of thee, for her skill in the art of prayer, for her persistence, for her reverence in addressing thee, and yet able, like Job, to order her cause before thee. But Lord, if we thank thee for Hannah, and we do, we by far thank thee for thyself and thy wondrous love to her and to us in granting her request and us ours. Lord, teach us to pray. And teach us to be humble and true men and women. And for those among us who are not saved yet, and this may be foreign to them, may they come themselves to pray that all-important prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then may they become men and women of prayer after that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen.